him. And that Black George Floyd thing happened, and we didn't have the courage to say that Mitt Romney was marching for abortion when he marched with Black Lives Matter, and that black kids and brown kids were being slaughtered in Chicago and other cities because Black Lives Matter defunded those cops, and that they have blood on their hands. When we lost that fight, and then they were able to force diversity officers into every Fortune, you know, 250 company, they all got a diversity officer, and they're literally destroying these companies. Why do you think that transvestite activist Dylan Mulvaney, you know, is getting all these contracts from these companies? Because they have a diversity officer there whose job it is to just jam this kind of policy into the boardroom. And now the boards have radicals on each one of their boards. So you see Disney doing this, you see Target doing this, you see Bud Light doing this. Here's the thing, they're all doing it, Sebastian, because after the George Floyd incident, even no matter what your opinions on whether that should have happened or not, the idea that he was a hero and the idea that Black Lives Matter was a good thing in society transformed our whole economics. And now we're dealing with the fact that, you know, it has taken enough time for that cancer to spread and to grow. I don't know how we get it back out other than saying you can't give them any of your money. I mean, you just can't. One of our daughters who loves going to Target, we had the conversation today. It's like, we can't go there. I mean, this is the worst thing ever, embracing Satan as a part of your marketing. I mean, you know, where does it go from here? It can't get much worse. This is the molten calf that Moses saw when he came down from the Ten Commandments. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Noah in the flood. This is like the end of being able to have a civilization if we keep being too quiet. Now, you're not quiet. I get it. I've been too quiet, and I started to get more loud. And now that when I look in the eyes of my kids, my youngest is 11, like, we better win this fight.
Yeah.
There's no place to go. There's no island that's remote enough. There's no yacht that'll have enough supplies on it. Like, we've got to cure this problem in America. Because, Sebastian, when we go overseas to these CPACs, you know, because we just came back from CPAC Hungary, that Prime Minister Orban's a brave man. But if we don't get it done here in America, everyone in this world is screwed.
Well, that about sums it up. I could probably just end the show right there. About says it all. Have we not been talking about since 2020 that there is nowhere else to go? There is no place for conservatives, godly people to run if the United States fails. We have nowhere to go, so the only other option is we better win. And that's pretty much what we're trying to do here. I think he was hitting on all the points that you know as well as I know, and if you don't know, I've been trying to say it, and so many other people have been trying to say it. Now is not a time to be quiet. Now is a time not to be violent, obviously, but don't hide your opinions. Don't hide your values. You know, don't stand silent any longer. And that is the main message of this. This woke mind virus, we all know what it leads back to with the companies. This woke mind virus that they're trying to infect society with, it is taking up to a certain level. I think there's a lot of pushback now more than ever because more and more things are getting exposed and you're seeing how evil these people's agenda truly is, but they're still trying to push forward with their agenda nonetheless. I've never seen a Democrat in Congress that ever backs down from their agenda. They always double, triple, and quadruple down on it. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing until they get what they want. I've never seen them stop. And right now, this is what they want for the United States. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. They're trying to normalize and legalize pedophilia. They want to destroy your regular families. They don't want families anymore. They're trying to turn people into something that is impossible to be, the opposite gender. You can't, it's not a, physically it's impossible. That's why the word transition doesn't mean anything. You're not transitioning from one to the other. You are whatever you are. You're just having a bunch of fancy surgeries. They're trying to confuse people and make society sick, all for the love of money and power. There really is no other rhyme or reason. That's what it always comes down to. There is nothing else in the world that is important to them or more important to them than those two things. They want all the money and they want all the power. They want to be on top and they want to be rulers. That is their main motive. Matt Schlapp hit it on the head. Anheuser-Busch is continuing to spiral down. Thank you for everybody that is not buying their products. And you shouldn't buy their products. This is the only way to teach them a lesson. We talked about this last week. Not necessarily a boycott, but you kind of state your opinion with how you spend your money. There are so many other places. Let's take a look at what you're not spending money on. You're not buying Anheuser-Busch products, or you're not buying Jack Daniels, because Jack Daniels did the whole drag thing. So if you're not doing those two, you're not hurting yourself. Actually, it's only a benefit to you because you're consuming less alcohol, not to mention alcohol is not generally cheap. Alcohol is a little bit more pricey. So it's better for you for health reasons, and it's better on your pocketbook. And then it also, this is besides the fact that you're helping the entire situation. Target is not the cheapest store in the world to shop at. Target is can be very pricey. So you're saving money, and at the same time, you're boycotting, in a sense, their industry, their business, for what they have done. Chick-fil-A wants to play that game. Chick-fil-A is very expensive. It's fried, greasy food, which is no good for you anyways. Health-wise, it's not good for you to eat. So you're taking care of your health, and you're spending less money. And you take a look at any store, Kohl's, any of these stores that do this, it's always a benefit to you. When you are fighting for something that is worth so much more than just material things, I mean, we're fighting literally for the soul of a nation. It's not hard to do those things. And look at all the added benefits to doing them. You know, you're not consuming alcohol, which you probably don't need and shouldn't be consuming that much anyways, and you're saving money. You're not shopping at an expensive retail store because of what they do, and you're saving money. You're not eating expensive fast food, and it's bad for you on top of that, so it's good for your health, and you're saving money. I mean, these are all positive items. You're moving in the right direction. We know that it's the investment companies. We know it is. We know that that is part of their agenda. That's the only way to force these companies to do what they are doing. You have BlackRock and State Street and what is it, Vanguard, all your biggest investment firms. You have them pushing this agenda. It's public-private partnership. This is where the government is partnering up with these corporations to force everybody to push the agenda that they want. That is what we're doing here. And that is socialism. It is. You know, people could say that we're not full-blown socialists yet, and we're not, but we certainly have a lot of socialist policies here in the United States already. And they're just continuing that push. To give a better explanation of Vanguard and BlackRock and everything that's going on there behind the scenes, Jesse Waters had an ex-CEO of Anheuser-Busch on. And he explains it, and this is somebody that has knowledge from the inside out, not the outside in. We're all on the outside looking in. We know what's happening. We're assuming what's happening, and we would bet money that we're pretty right on what is going on. This is somebody that was actually in it, and he actually lived it. Now, it's about 4 minutes long, but it's definitely worth listening to, so here it is.
In 10 days, your company lost $10 billion. So why is corporate America Bud Lighting themselves? Because this is about more than just money. The people who are forcing these companies to Bud Light themselves already have enough money. They have so much money, they're looking for things to do. Who are these companies? It's companies like Vanguard, BlackRock, the companies that own major stakes in Target or Disney. So with all that shareholder clout, they can force these companies to do whatever they want. They confess this is what they're doing.
Behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. What we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay? You have to force behaviors, and if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted.
So we went from the customer's always right to screw you. This is all because rich white liberals on Wall Street feel guilty about being billionaires. So they force companies to go woke to pay off the social justice gods. And it's also brilliant class warfare. The peasants aren't going to storm the castle. You know, if they think the rich guy that owns the castle's nice and lets everybody sparkle. Let's bring in Anson Frerichs. He's a former Anheuser-Busch executive and co-founder of Strive Asset Management. So how does this actually work? These guys are telling the truth? Jesse, thanks for having me this morning. I mean, here's how it works. It's pretty simple. You just have to follow the money. If you take a look at BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, they manage $20 trillion worth of capital. But it's not their own money. This is the money of everyday citizens, firefighters, police officers, doctors, who generally have their money either via 401ks or, in a lot of cases, large pension funds. Large pension funds like the state of California, which manages the largest pension fund in the U.S., and the state of New York, and then European pension funds as well. And a lot of the politicians in those states, in California, for example, they recently have mandated those large pension funds that they divest from things like fossil fuels and oil and gas. And then when Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, was there, did the same thing. But they also tell BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, if they're going to manage their money, they have to commit to things like ESG, diversity, equity, inclusion, and adopt firm-wide commitments that they therefore then force onto all the major companies in corporate America.
So the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, says to a BlackRock, we're not going to send you our $100 billion state pension if you're going to invest in ExxonMobil. We're only going to send it to you guys if you guys are going to invest it in woke companies. And then that's what these places do. They invest it in these woke companies. They make them woker, and then everybody gets paid. You left Anheuser-Busch because of some of these shenanigans. What happened there?
Oh, I left Anheuser-Busch, not necessarily because of Anheuser-Busch, but a lot of other companies. I was living in Atlanta, for example, during the 2021 time period, and you had the citizens of Georgia. They voted for representatives to make sure we could have election integrity laws. You have to have an ID to vote. And for that ID to vote, this seemed like it was a pretty logical law. I was kind of surprised in Georgia didn't have it. But what was crazy to me was that after the fact, BlackRock came out and they said, we're against this law. We think this is bad for democracy. This is bad for society. And they basically then had companies like Coca-Cola, like Delta, and heck, even Major League Baseball, they canceled an all-star game over this. And when I was seeing this, this was bad for capital markets, because instead of these companies just delivering soft drinks or heck, doing Major League Baseball, they're getting involved in these political issues. That's bad for these companies because they're alienating a lot of their customers, as we're seeing right now with firms like Anheuser-Busch. But frankly, it's bad for democracy as well. Citizens should be able to decide these things through free and fair elections, not necessarily with a small group of asset managers and CEOs that are telling individuals how to live their lives.
Yeah, I remember when the left used to hate Wall Street, and now they love Wall Street because Wall Street's woke just like they are. Thank you so much for joining us. And it is true. You just got to follow the money. You can follow
Thank
it
you.
Every time to the truth. We appreciate you joining us.
And they've actually lost a lot more than that. Anheuser-Busch, I think the last time I checked, it was up to like $27 billion that they have lost. Target, their stock share prices, they've been downgraded by J.P. Chase Morgan or whatever, J.P. Morgan, they've been downgraded by them, and they've lost 14% of their stock. They were already struggling. Target was not doing so well in the first place. And this is just adding to their list of problems. And every other company that goes woke, if we give them the same treatment, there will come a point, and I think we're already starting to see that turn just from what I saw, what I had let you, mentioned last week about the 10 insurance companies that say that they are no longer going to follow the ESG scores or the ESG guidelines. It is starting to turn, and the more we do this, the more we can turn it. You know, Chick-fil-A, they want to hire somebody in there that's going to start. How does that end up looking for Chick-fil-A? Is anybody that's going to become a Chick-fil-A franchisee owner now, they're going to have to meet a certain criteria? You're going to have to be Black. You're going to have to be Hispanic. You can't be white. Are they going to start losing their Christian values there and take that out of the equation? That is yet to be seen. But I guess it would be better to give them a knock on the head beforehand to let them know, if that's what you're thinking here, let me flick you in the forehead so you understand what we're doing here. We're not playing that game with you. Otherwise, let's get chicken somewhere else. Again, it's healthier for you, it's less expensive for you, and you are standing your ground for your beliefs. It makes perfect sense to me. Important to stay on top of these topics, and we are. I know that it feels, and the media is going to make it feel that way and everything. I know it feels like we're always losing, but believe me, although I have good and bad days like everybody else, we are, if you look at the overall picture, we are making positive strides to restore the United States. And we are turning, the tide is changing, and we are doing a good job. So fear not. And if you're praying, definitely fear not. You know, and speaking of praying, you know, I'm going to bring something up quickly here that happened on Sunday. Went to service as we always do on Sunday. And, you know, just thinking about what they're forcing on all these children and this confusion that they've brought among our children and how disgusting social media is and everything. Well, you know, our pastor announced when we were there at church, there's a couple there, and they asked them to come to the front and a bunch of people to come up there to pray for them because their 15-year-old daughter, who was a Christian, committed suicide. Yeah, and I just, the point is, as much as my heart broke for that family and as hard as I prayed for God to have mercy on her, the point is, that's what they are driving children to. That is the confusion that is setting in. That is the hopelessness that they are putting in these children. That's what social media does to them. I wouldn't recommend, if you have children, that your children are on social media at all. I got to be honest with you, none of mine are, and they will not be. My oldest boy is 15 and a half. He doesn't even own a cell phone. Because when he asked me, Dad, can I get a cell phone? I'm like, what do you need a cell phone for? I'm standing right here. You go out with me. You don't drive. You're not out on your own yet. What do you need a phone for? You need a phone? Who are you going to call? I'm standing right here. Your mother's standing right there. Who do you need to call? Okay, you don't need a cell phone. And we did the same thing with my daughter. You don't need it. You're not allowed on social media, period, the end. It ain't happening. She's older now, being that she's 21 years old now. She thanks us for that. So watching all of her friends and how they would live their lives depending on what they see on all these stupid apps, and it's such a sickness, and it's such a negative thing. I wouldn't advise anybody give that to their child. You know, I can't say that this poor young girl was on social media. I don't know how her parents raised her. It's not my business. I don't know how she took her own life, but what I do know is it's a tragedy because it's a 15-year-old that was the only way she saw out of the situation. You know, and that is never the answer, ever. Suicide is never the answer. There's no coming back from that. That doesn't stop it. As a matter of fact, you lost. You lost all the way around. You lost the battle here. You lost the battle in afterlife. And you let these people that did it to you, let them win. You know, that's not the way out. You stand here and get the help that you need to get from people that do care. You got to sometimes let them into your life and let them into some of your deepest, darkest feelings so that way people can help you, because there are plenty of people, especially your parents, that want to help you. You think any parent wants to bury a child? And that's, I can tell you the answer to that is no. There's no real parent that loves their kids that wants to bury their children. We all think the same way. You bury us. We brought you in, you usher us out, and then your kids do the same for you. It's not we bring you in and we bury you before we leave this planet. That's not the game we're playing here. That's not the thought that's in our mind. Our mind is we bring you in and you help us on the way out when we go from baby to adult back to almost almost a form of baby, depending on the person, by the end. You help us out when things get tough for us. I wanted to throw that in there because this is part of it. It infects everywhere, even in a Christian church. Yeah, I mean, you see stuff like this, and it's not that it's common, but it's not uncommon. You know, and these are people that are strong with the Lord, and that sickness and that darkness surrounds them and makes them believe that there is no alternative but to do that. The point is, just like Matt Schlapp, when he said he looked at his kids and he thought to himself, you know, we have to win. We have to fight this. And you got to fight it. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it can be a little bit burdensome. But it is what it is. Yeah, there are things worth making sacrifices for. And this is one of them. So let's all work on this together. All right. I'm not going to get too deep today. My buddy, Boogie Ma, sent me a article during the weekend. I was kind of, when she said it to me, I had not seen this, but you know, she's good. If you remember when I talked to her, if you're a longtime listener, when I talked to her, she said she has a tendency sometimes to go pretty deep down a rabbit hole, and we laughed about it because you can get lost in a lot of this stuff. You start digging, you can get deeper. You got to pull yourself out at some point because you look and you're like, all right, I've gone a little bit too far here. Now it's turned from interesting to let me find out everything to what the hell am I even reading? I think I'm going to do some conspiracy theory stuff. Well, I can't even speak. And you got to pull yourself back out. But she sent me this, and this is not conspiracy theory stuff. This is just that she found this particular article, however she found it. Lab-grown meat carbon footprint could potentially be worse than retail beef. Okay, I read this, and I'm going to just give you a quick rundown of what this is. UC Davis did a study. It has not been peer-reviewed yet, but the University of California, Davis, did a study on lab-grown meat, which already, I'm sure, your mouth is just starting to water. It's cultured from animal cells, so they're basically growing meat. Okay, they're growing meat in some lab, and they're trying to help the environment by growing this meat, figuring that you're going to need to take up less land and water. You have less cows for beef that are, if according to AOC, all the farts in the world are coming out of them, and oh my God, it's destroying the planet. All right. So they're deciding that they're going to make meat that they're going to grow in a lab, which again, is what I think of that. Okay, I don't know anybody that sounds tasty. I already got a problem with the Beyond Meat or the veggie burgers, because veggie burgers, which I wonder how much they got to put in there to alter that to make it taste like a burger. You know, to get it to be close and kind of have the texture. Like, what kind of chemicals are you eating? Because I got to be honest with you, I can't imagine any mix of vegetables and fruits and nuts and whatever the hell else they put in there that you could blend together that make that patty without different ingredients that are going to hold it together and improve the taste. And what those are, I don't know. I don't know what chemicals are in those. God knows. I don't know. I don't care to know. All right. Point is, these people are growing, and I would rather eat a veggie burger, but they're growing meat in a lab somewhere. Now, the technology that they use is the same type of technology that they use in big pharma, okay? The product contains and it's produced with like a pharma approach via the article, okay? Say it's going to be worse for the environment and more expensive than conventional beef production. So ultimately, the amount of time and money that they have to spend to grow meat, and I just keep wanting to stress growing meat, okay? The amount of time that it takes, or the process that it takes, is more hazardous. It can be anywhere from 80% more beneficial all the way up to 26% less beneficial, depending on the process. But the current process and the only process that they have for doing this is more hazardous to the environment. And once it's peer-reviewed, I'm sure it's not going to get any better from there. They did later down in the article try to talk about a future in which there will be a friendly burger that it's made because they can use a better technique in making the said lab-grown meat, which will be less impactful on the environment. Ultimately, what I believe is if you get all the way down to the bottom of the article, what it ends up saying here is that even if they can't use this for meat, this may advance technologies in making pharmaceuticals. Okay, so to me, that's where this is going, because I'd put my bottom dollar that says if I came up to you and said, you know, we have a USDA grade A top choice lab grown beef in that burger, you would go, wait, stop, what did you just say? USDA grade A meat. Whoa. No, but before that, lab? Did you say something about a lab? Oh yeah, lab grown meat. You know, they grow it in a lab. They culture it from the cells of animals, and they just grow it like, I don't know, mold or something. Yeah. I don't know a soul that would go, oh yeah, give me some of that sweet thing, man. Yeah, that burger's amazing. I think most people go, hey, you can keep that. What else you got? Because I ain't eating that crap. I suspect most everybody's going to reject this idea. I don't think there's too many people that I know that even if I said to them, unless they are a extreme liberal, that would be like, oh yeah, I'd be willing to try that. Sure. That sounds amazing. It also helps the environment out. I bet it's very tasty. Okay. Besides that person, I don't think that there is anybody that I know that if I told them, hey, man, you want some lab-grown beef or you want some real beef, they're going to go, oh, yeah, man, give me the lab-grown stuff. They're going to look at me like I'm stupid. And then they're going to probably ask me, why the hell did you spend money on that? What is wrong with you? I thought you were conservative. Oh, the attack just begins at that point. Okay. I don't think anybody's doing it now. Could it help advance technologies for the pharmaceutical company, maybe making it more cost effective to produce pharmaceuticals so that way it's not as expensive for the consumer? Possibly. You know, but that's not what this article is about. Now, this is also coming out of California. Keep in mind, and me and her were kind of emailing back and forth. If UC Davis is telling you, and she was the one that said this, and I couldn't agree more with her, if they're telling you it's this bad, how bad is it really? Okay, if they're already alluding to it's potentially hazardous for the climate, it's got a bad carbon footprint. If they're already telling you that in this, and it hasn't been peer reviewed yet, I would assume it's probably a lot worse than what they're actually going to let you know. I'm sure it's probably twice or three times. I think it won here. Actually, now my memory serves me correctly. I'm going to browse through this. Oh, here we go. Yes. The study found that global warming potential of lab-based meat using purified media is 4 to 25 times greater than the average for retail beef. So, it's at a minimum 4 times and at a maximum 25 times more impactful on the environment than doing it the old-fashioned way, the way that we've been doing it since the beginning of time, and grazing cattle and livestock, and then when the time comes, serving up the real beef. And I don't know anybody that has not, if you have only ever in your life, and I mean this truly, I can't imagine what the lab taste meat must taste like. I don't want to know, and I'm never going to try to find out. I have had a bunch of different types of veggie burgers, just depending on. I have some friends that are vegetarians, and my sister at one point was a vegan. So I have tasted those and gone out to dinner at places that were vegan friendly for her. And there was one up in Orlando, Ethos, that made a hell of a black bean burger. It doesn't taste like a burger. That's not what I'm saying. But it was good nonetheless. It doesn't have the consistency, obviously, as real meat. I'm getting sidetracked here. If you have only ever bought your meat from a grocery store, okay, if you have never had local, recently cut up fresh beef or meat, you have no idea what you're missing. I mean, it's night and day what we're talking about here. It's not even the same. The quality is so superior. It's not even in the same realm. So if you've never had that before, you may want to find a local butcher that's literally cutting up massive slabs of cows in the back that just came in from a local farmer. It's going to be a whole new world for you. A whole new world. Yeah, you're going to have that moment. You're going to be on a carpet ride. It's going to be so good. Trust me. So if you never had that opportunity, you might want to do it. So in my mind, eating that, then eating your regular meat, which, you know, depending on the person, how it's seasoned, man, it's still fantastic. Okay. Thinking to myself, at worst case scenario, if I'm starving, I'll do the veggie burger thing. If that's the only option that I have, I may go for it. There is no way. I would rather tear the bark off of a tree and put it in between two pieces of bread with a little bit of mustard on it and eat that than I would eat something grown in a lab by a bunch of crazy scientists that think they're saving the world by growing me an animal part to eat. Not happening. I don't know how old you are, but sometimes my age will come out and just, if anybody remembers the conspiracy theory probably 25 years ago about Kentucky Fried Chicken, where people said they used to have chickens that they would grow six legs on them because it was like, how could you be serving that much chicken? And there was this conspiracy theory, and people were like, yeah, they're mutant chickens, and they got six legs and two heads. And it's kind of funny when you think back about it now, but there was that conspiracy theory there. Well, no, now we have turned from it was a conspiracy then, it was obviously not true, to now, no, they're actually telling you they're growing it in a lab. Okay. Yeah, we weren't eating Kentucky Fried Chicken back then because everybody was worried, and that was when it was actually finger-licking good. You think that knowing you're producing this in a lab from cultures, from meat cells of animals, nah, you can keep that, man. I got no interest. Keep it. You know, I will become a rancher myself. I'll put 4 or 5 cattle up on my property myself, and I'll cut one up every year and get 500 pounds worth of beef, and I'll eat that. Because there ain't no way you're getting me to eat something grown in a lab like that. Not going to happen. But thank you, Boogie Ma, for sending that to me. I appreciate it. That was pretty damn disgusting. I got to say, I think I had a nightmare that night she sent it to me, thinking of sitting in front of it and like you serving me that crap. Yeah. All right. It is Monday. Oh, quick announcement. Yeah, I'm doing something special for my, second to oldest son's birthday this weekend. So I will not have a new episode this coming Friday. You will get everything all the way up till Thursday, but I am out of town after that. It's too hard to pre-record because we're leaving super early, and it's just the timing's not going to be good for Friday. So you're going to get Monday through Thursday this week from me, and unfortunately, I will not be having a Friday episode. And if I actually was a little bigger and could have somebody fill in, you would, but I'm not at that point, so it is what it is. Beyond that, I hope you enjoy what you're listening to. If you do, write a review. Go and write the review. If you have never done it, just write it. I'm just kidding. If you like what you're hearing, please review me. It's always a good help to me. If you'd like to reach out to me, littlejoecc.com. Go to the contact section. Beyond that, have a beautiful Monday, and we will do it again.